So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16, says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus."
How do we feel about rejoicing always, praying continually, and giving thanks in all circumstances? Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Today is our harvest festival, a time when we give thanks for all things which have grown and a successful year. Some may think that harvest is a modern festival, that the church invented it or something, that we get the gifts in. But it's not. It's a festival that traces its roots all the way back into the Old Testament, all the way back to Exodus even, and a festival called Sukkot, a time of giving thanks to what God has done. Giving thanks to God for what he has done. So harvest is not just about celebrating a good crop. It's about remembering that God has provided through that crop. To rejoice, to celebrate, to be excited in all things. But Paul doesn't say celebrate just when you have a good crop, when you've got good things going on in your life. He says you need an attitude of gratitude. Because God provides for us. Rejoicing doesn't just mean going around with a smile on your face. It's about how you feel inside. It's happiness. It's not feeling like we need anything. It's a joy, a celebration. It's an attitude of thanks, of gratitude. It's waving a flag. Rejoicing. Brilliant. Waving a flag. What do we celebrate over in our lives? Can I invite the children to the front? And you can have a flag as well. Children, come to the front. Come and get a flag. We're going to see how we rejoice with our flags, okay? So there should be plenty of flags down there. Now, the trick with the flag is not to hit anybody with it, because that's bad. Flags are down here. I hope we've got enough now. How are we doing? Okay, so... if you can position yourself so you could see a screen. There's one there, and there's one there. Okay. Don't be too close to each other. So, what does rejoicing mean, guys? What does rejoicing mean? It means being happy, yeah? So when we're happy, we wave our flag, don't we? Like this. So when we're happy, we're going to wave our flag. Now, there's going to be some things on the screen. And when you see something that makes you happy... when you see something that excites you, when you see something you want to celebrate about, I want you to wave your flags like this, okay? Everybody with me? Right. Can we have the first item, please? Okay. Who wants to wave their flag about that? Adults, you can use your hands if you want to participate there. So, oh, we got some. So the children aren't so keen on wheat, but some of the adults are. Okay. What's the next... it goes in beer. I'll speak to you later. What's our next slide, Andy? Oh, now what's that? Anybody know what that is? That's flour. Who wants to wave about flour? There's less people waving about flour than wheat, I'm noticing. Okay. What's our next slide, Andy? Bread. Oh, who likes bread? There's still some children not waving their flags, I'm noticing. Okay, next slide. A donut. There we go, now we're on. There we go. What's our next item? Oh, cake. Yep, wicked. Anything else in there, Andy? We've got another slide there? Oh, good health. That's a man doing some tricks. Who likes good health? Who likes feeling good and not feeling sniffly and cold? Yeah, everybody likes that. What's our next slide? Money in the bank. Oh, who likes cash? Oh, we all like money in the bank, don't we? Brilliant, guys. See, the thing is, how many things did you rejoice over there? All of them? Some of them? Maybe? See, Paul doesn't say, rejoice sometimes. Rejoice when we get what we want. Give thanks when things are good in our lives. Pray when it's easy. Acknowledge God sometimes. Nor does he say, don't rejoice Pray when you can fit it in. Thank God when you remember. It says pray continually. Okay, guys, you can put your flags down now and head back to your parents. Is it possible to be thankful always? Is it possible to rejoice in all things? Apparently, flour was our least liked item. When I was preparing this sermon, I started on Thursday. I got ahead. I was nearly halfway through it yesterday. Saved it like a good boy, backed it up into the cloud, saved it, and then suddenly a little blue screen flashy thing came up, and as it saved, it reverted back to the original copy I'd created on Thursday. It was an interesting experience. I can't tell you what I was thinking at the time. Rejoice always. I probably wasn't rejoicing at that time. And if I'm honest, I didn't pray either. You want the flag? There you are, sweetheart. The problem with this was, I've spent 20 years in IT, so I know how to fix a computer. And if I don't know how to fix a computer, Google does. Okay? So my plan here was, you rely on my own skills, don't bother praying, don't bother rejoicing, become quite frustrated about the whole situation. And by the end of it, I was hiding under my office table, happened to be coaxed out with a cup of coffee and a ginger nut biscuit. I returned to work, but with a new understanding about what it meant to rejoice always. We need to rejoice always. When we get too much homework and we can't go out, when we've got work piling up, when the cat steals the butter, when the dog destroys a favourite toy, when people say mean things to us or cut us up when we're driving our cars, when we lose something we've been working on for hours, when there's no sweets in the cupboard, when we've run out of chocolate sauce, you know who you are. We need to rejoice because all of this is normal life. This is a normal day in my house. My dog destroys anything it can get its mouth on. The cat steals the butter regularly. I regularly get cut up in my car. 80% of my life is probably this stuff. Struggling with life. And if I can't rejoice in 80%, I'm sleeping probably for the other 19%, which gives me 1% left to rejoice and give thanks to God. If we can't rejoice in good things, there is no way we'll be able to rejoice in bad. And I can tell you firsthand, the feeling of despair when things go wrong is unnecessary. This sermon is probably better than the first because I had a real experience to base it on. I got an illustration that generated a few laughs. I need to rejoice when things are going wrong because God promises to provide for us, is the last part of that verse. God promises to provide in good and in bad. And the more we pray, we will see where God is in our lives, and we'll be able to let go of those things that frustrate us. Charles.
Thank you, Rich. As Rich was just saying, there are things that we know we want to be thankful for, but there are also things that frustrate us that actually we don't feel like being thankful for. So what I'd like to do on your piece of paper is turn them over, and on the second side, that might be the front or the back, depending which side you start on, I'd like you to write or draw things that you're not thankful for. They might be small things like your sermon being interrupted by a child obsessed with putting a flag away. They might be bigger things. They might be things we're really struggling with that we're not thankful for. So on the other side, write or draw things that you just don't feel thankful for. Excellent. If I just pause you there. I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18 again. Just remind us of what God's word says. And then we're going to come back and open those verses up a bit more. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18 say, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you. In Christ Jesus.
So we've thought about the good and we've thought about the bad. Now we're going to think about the awful. Having an attitude of gratitude even in hardship. I wonder where you are when you think about if it's possible to rejoice always. How many people think it is possible to rejoice always? Go on, give me a wave of your hands. I'm kind of halfway there. I'd like to believe it's possible, but I'm kind of going like this, but it's difficult. Life happens. And Charles has led us in some thinking about when things go wrong. How do we hold an attitude of gratitude in those situations? As I've said before, it's easy to walk in the sunshine, but can you dance in the rain of life? What do you do when things get really tough? Can we have the slide? What do you do when your piggy bank's been broken into? When you've got no money? When you're absolutely destitute? How many of us would wave our flags when we look at our bank accounts and they're empty? Or we don't even have an account? When the car MOT has been done and two new tyres are required and the brake pads need doing and the gas and the electricity has come? When you don't have any money to put food on your table? When the harvest feels limited somehow? Can you rejoice then? What about when you're unwell? Or your family member is unwell and you have to care for them? When your mum's sick? When your dad's in hospital? When your child is ill? How easy is it to rejoice in those situations? I said it a few weeks ago, Christianity is no inoculation against hardship, but what we have is hope. We have hope in God. But the end of this verse is tough to hear. For this is God's will for you. So I'm suffering because it's God's will. Oh. Grab the next slide, please. This is a friend of mine, he says. Roland, run VT. Is it going to go? Ooh. So that's a friend of mine. Adam's a blacksmith. Adam spends his day basically pounding on metal. He turns pieces of iron that have been plunged into a fire and hits them with a really big hammer continually. In fact, there's three people hitting this one particular piece of metal with a hammer. I think that is what life can be like sometimes. God is somehow perfecting us through our misery, drawing us into new things. Romans 8 says, "And we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to purpose. God has made a calling on our lives, and from all things good can come." That video is about 15 minutes of three guys hammering away with a sledgehammer, and this is what comes out the other side. This beautiful tree. So from that one bar of iron with three guys hammering on it, they made this in a day at a country show. God makes a calling on our life. And whilst it's tough and it feels awful when we're stuck in it, God is right there with us. A donut doesn't exist without the wheat and the flour. The wheat has to be gathered, it has to be ground, and then it has to be made. The most critical part of this verse in Thessalonians for me is prayer. It creates a seesaw bridge between rejoicing and knowing it's God's will. Prayer changes our priorities. It helps us align with God to understand God's calling on our lives. And it is through prayer we know God's love for us. If you're finding it hard to dance in the rain, then pray. If you're finding it easy to dance in the rain, pray. If you're walking in the sunshine, pray. If things are going awful, pray. If things aren't brilliant, pray. Pray to understand God's will on your life, because he is in control. He has got a plan. You just have to pray that he'll move in your lives. And that's something we can all rejoice in, always. Amen.